letter from my Compassion International child. And if you're not sponsoring one, I'm going to encourage you to do it. They asked me to be an ambassador, and I'm like, don't know, but tell you what, I'll tell you right now, if you're not sponsoring one, give up $50 a month, $43. Our first one we sponsored years ago, she was Justin's age. She graduated. She was a little baby. And she graduated. So we got another one. Her name's Marcelita. She's 11 years old. And so I got a letter from her the other day. And she showed me what she bought with the money I sent her for a gift for her birthday. She bought food for her family. That was, you talk about conviction. This little girl bought food for her family. She didn't go out and buy herself a new pair of shoes, a pretty dress. She's a beautiful little girl. She thought about her family and how much easier it would be on them if she took that money and put it towards food. To which I told Angela, I said, well, I guess I need to start giving more gifts to her. But if you don't have one, sponsor one. Try it. Or at least send them an offering to help. They get people all the time that can't keep up their pledge anymore. Anyhow, so last week I was telling you about some things I've been started looking at about weddings in the Bible. I mean, it's the month of June, right? It's the month of weddings. When I was a wedding photographer, 2-3 weddings a weekend. The woman I worked for, she was a perfectionist. She wanted pictures, and this is when it was $10 a roll for 10 shots for professional grade film. And I blew through 200 pictures at a wedding average. And if they bought the big package, it was closer to 5. And, but see, you know, June, most of us know the history why June was picked. Crops were in, right? Everybody got a warm bath. That bride and groom get a bath. Hey, let's go get married. But the reality is the weddings are actually spoken of in the Bible prophetically. Some of you know that. And weddings, I do them. We're quite modernized, quite westernized on our practices, right? You know, I mean, I know I didn't go to my father-in-law first and ask for her hand in marriage because my father didn't. And I don't know that his father did. But what happened is traditions got dropped. And I think Angela was the one that asked me, did you go talk to Dad? I ain't marrying him. What do I go talk to him for? Okay. It's probably wise. And so anyhow, we know all of our traditions came from somewhere. And I can look around here, there's quite a few of you I have married. And all of your weddings were different. You did something different. Married out in the field. You sang, it was Aerosmith, don't want to miss a thing. I was trying to think of the bride singing coming up the aisle from shy little Trisha. We're like, holy moly. And she didn't miss a thing. Carsey and Max out right in front of the lake. Big fish were jumping behind us. We've made them our own. But in the Bible, when Jesus is talking about certain things, we all know the parable of the 10 virgins, right? And I was always raised to think that's the church and only half the church is going to go. Well, there's a tradition that that's not the church. I haven't gotten too far into it because onto that part. But I started learning some other things about the wedding. Because you see, that's kind of what we're waiting for, isn't it? The wedding feast of the Lamb, the rapture of the church, the taking away. The first step, and I am probably going to butcher some of these words, so do not judge my Hebrew. The first step is the matchmaking step. Shadukim. Back in those days, weddings weren't a... I'm going to share a little of your story. He saw her. He talked to her. He liked her. Right? I think you like her. Okay. He thought she was attractive. She thought he was attractive. Back then, it had nothing to do with whether you thought they were pretty or not. Hey, your daddy's got a big army, right? I got a lot of food, but I don't have a big army. Let's make an alliance. Let's join together as a family, because you did not cross family. And I would say, how many of you have been stabbed in the back by your family? But everybody's hand would be up, and we don't need that. But the reality is, they were about treaties and alliances, making things stronger, making things better, and protection. Why do you think Solomon had peace and so many wives? Now, while he had peace for the nation, if you read anything really about Solomon and later on, he really didn't have peace. Because he started adopting their gods. He started taking on their practices. But he had peace. He was the only king of Israel to have peace. And God told him that. The betrothal stage. The arisen. A father and son would go to the bride's house. Now, if you go back and you read about Abraham, and they sent servants to find Isaac's bride, right? They told her exactly, told him what to look for. He came back with it. But part of the tradition, and let me state this before I go any further, just like I pointed out, there are so many different traditions in the families. So many things the bride wanted, so many things the groom wanted. Sharp-dressed man. I mean, come on! That rock dude, I just gotta say. His mom wasn't real thrilled about it, but I was like, it's your wedding. Do it. Walked up to sharp-dressed man. Loved it. If I'd have known that was an option, I might have done something like that, but I just was grateful that I didn't die and on the plane ride back from Japan and had other things on my mind. So the traditions varied, even within the tribes, within the regions, different things. And that's what I can say about all the weddings that I did. And the one, that one year that I was a photographer, I did over 52 weddings. And I did weddings where we were pretty much standing in the VFW hall sweating because they wouldn't turn the air conditioner on in North Carolina in the summer. And weddings to where we were on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean in a clubhouse eating shrimp the size of your head. So I did everything in between. Well, there was a lot of stuff that was similar. There was a lot of stuff that was different. Same thing with all of you. Some of you did a unity knot. Some of you did the unity sand, the unity candle, showing two lives coming together as one. A lot of different traditions, and they have good meaning. And we're absolutely allowed to do what is meaningful to us and why they do it. I personally have, for a wedding band now, I have three chords intertwined. It's not by accident. It was by design. The Father, not only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but me, Angela, and God Almighty. Because if he's not in that marriage, it's going to be a rough road to hoe. So anyhow, the Father and the Son, once a bride has been selected, they go to the bride's house, to the bride's father's house. They knock upon the door. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's exactly what would happen. They'd knock on the door of the bride's home. If the bride was willing to go through with this, she would open the door and the Father and the Son would come in. They would go in and they would sit down and they would eat. But not just any meal. They had a meal of bread and wine. See, the night Jesus was to be betrayed, when he said what he was talking about with that, he said, I have desired to eat this with you. They understood what he was saying. It wasn't just Passover. It was something else. I'm offering you the covenant. That's what the whole thing is about. Marriage is about a covenant. And if the covenant gets broken, there were ramifications. And so the Father and the Son would come in and they would break bread and have the wine. And a deal would be struck. Now, you know, a lot of us, especially into modern age, well, I don't believe none of that dowry stuff, buying brides. It wasn't about buying a bride. You're missing the point altogether because you're listening to caca. Because it wasn't about that. A price was struck. It was usually 50 shekels. Today's equivalent in 2020 would be $30,000. That's all I'm worth, $30,000. Don't think you understand. He wasn't buying you. And $30,000 back then was more than a used car. It was years worth of a livelihood. Every dime. By the way, 50, I'm out of order here, so I might as well just jump ahead. Fifty is the number of deliverance, spiritual elevation, and purity. Can you remind me what Jesus did? He brought deliverance, and he elevated us spiritually so that we could have the Holy Spirit living within us and therefore purifying us with his blood. So in this betrothal stage, the Father, the Son, and the bride's father, they strike the deal. It became a binding document in which you are, for all intents and purposes, married. We call that an engagement today, don't we? We're engaged, yay! Well, we've got a couple in here right now. By God's definition, and I want you all to hear me out because I've had people misinterpret what I'm about to say. You are married. Your father gave permission. Did you talk to your dad? Dad, is this a good idea? No. My father and father-in-law both said, you know, it's not too late to run yet, right? It's a binding deal. However, cohabitation and consummation are off of the table. Let me state that. Do I need to state it again so that everybody understands? I'm not saying you can sleep around. I'm not saying you can go shack up. It's sin. There it is. There were vows that were spoken. I will be faithful to you. I will leave you a gift. You are more precious to me than anything on this planet. We get people all kinds. I bestow upon you my fidelity. Da, da, da. Okay. How many of you had to look up the word fidelity when you were looking this stuff up? Okay. And then you had to wonder why do we call it wireless fidelity? When fidelity means faithfulness. So the bride and the groom, they do their vows. They are now in a legally binding contract that can be taken to court. If the bride is found not to be a virgin or the bride has an affair, the groom can have her stoned, or as Joseph was going to do, quietly have her put away. It didn't mean he was going to have her killed. The deal was off. He was not going to embarrass her with it. So they stood under, some of you have seen this, and I can't remember. I've done a few of them in front of arches. Did you guys have an arch or something? Okay. Seems like there's somebody they had an arch. If you've seen any kind of movies where there's Jewish people getting married, you know what a huppah is. Although they usually show an arch, and it's not the arch. It's actually a square piece of cloth supported on the corners. The sides are even. Some are 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 or 8 foot. Just depends on the grandeur, right? Same thing with the weddings. The more money I've been at weddings, like I said, the one we were eating prawns. And if you know what they are shrimp that are about that big around. They're huge. The package, the picture package the woman chose was like 10 grand. Her daddy was in the oil field. Had lots of money. We estimated it was probably about $100,000 spent on that wedding. And they do their vows. They're in a legally binding contract. The bride price is paid to the father. This was not to make the father rich, because the good father gave the majority of it to the bride. He blessed her. He didn't keep it. He was getting a son-in-law. He was getting a son. He was having an alliance with somebody else. And this was for her. It was considered, if you kept the bride price, you were considered cruel and abusive. Brutal is what they put. How many know we have a good, good father? And he would never keep anything from us. But he's our father now. See, there was a father that Jesus and even John the Baptist kept addressing religious people. You are of your father, Satan, the enemy. The bride price redeemed the bride. She was given the mohar. That is what the bride price is. And then there was a precious gift given. Today, we give a ring, right? That's how we start our covenant with our bride. We give her a ring. Now me, I didn't have a ring. Barely had enough money to take her out to see a cheap movie then. But it's my last night, our last night, for many months. And I proposed. And but most of you went and got a ring. something precious. Now, due to commercialism, we have all been told that it has to be a diamond, that it has to be of this, it has to be that, it has to be, what's the monetary 1 month salary? 3 to 6. Stop and think about that, gentlemen. I bought the entire set for $500. And I'm glad I didn't spend a whole lot because somebody stole my ring. I worked in a factory, thieves. But I was able later to upgrade her ring because it meant it was precious to her. And the groom would present her this precious gift. Stones, gold, rings, clothes. It meant something to her because it was personal. And, you know, I've known a lot of people, you know, it's like, I don't know how I feel about this. Well, I want to pick out my ring. It's not from him. That's from you. You picked it out. You need to let him pick it out. That's my opinion. I'm not getting married again, so kind of made sure of that. The gift was something that was hers. It meant something. It was his promise. Because it was expensive enough, he said, I'll be back for you. The matan, there's a mention of it in Genesis. Then Shechem said to her father and her brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me ever so much dowry and gift, and I will give according to what you say to me. But give me the young woman as a wife. This man said, whatever you demand, I will give it. He loved her. After they've done their vows, they promised fidelity to each other. They took the wine and the bread, and he would leave with his father to go back to his father's house. Jesus said, I go to my father's house and prepare a place for you. Do you know what the bride or the groom would do? He'd go back to his father's house because as a single man, he lived with his father. And off of his father's house, he would build his own home. Not necessarily connected, but he would build his own home for his bride. He'd be preparing this place. He'd be working. During this time, let me see if I can not butcher this word. That's just a Rusin prep time. This is a time to which the bride and the groom had to get ready. But guess what? And it wasn't 7 years. It wasn't 10 years. It was 6 months to 1 year, and they got married. I've known people, and they've lived together for the entire time. I'm like, just go get married. Bring God into your union correctly, at least. At least you can start off somewhat right. And if you choose not to obey and listen to him, well, then you're still being stupid. Because you at least tried something right. But this Shechem, or not Shechem, that's the guy on the huppah. Four square posts. It is said to be reminiscent of Abraham's tent. That it was open Because Abraham was known for his hospitality. The huppah represented a house, the new household that was beginning. They were standing in a new agreement, in a new huppah, and they would each go their own ways. He would go back with his father to prepare a place for her. Now what that meant, he had to build it. And the tradition was, he built it. Daddy didn't build it. He didn't hire it out. He built the house. Now, if you're building a house for your new bride, gentlemen, and you're knowing that there's going to be children running around there, are you not going to try to make it the best house you can? And for your bride, aren't you going to try to make sure it's the prettiest house you can? Sure. At least that's what I hope is instilled into every one of you. You're going to do the very best you can. And that's what he would do. And in the tradition, it wasn't the groom who decided when to come back and get the bride. It was the father. When the father was satisfied with the house, when the father was satisfied that the groom was ready. Just ladies and gentlemen, many of you have been married, and many of you still are married. It takes an adjustment, doesn't it? I mean, I went away our first 6 months in marriage. This is easy. No, then we cohabitated. What do you mean you're squeezing it from the end? You roll it. Roll the toothpaste. Never had to share my toothpaste in 2 years. We never actually got into it over that. I read once that that was one of the number one arguments in married couples, was rolling up the toothpaste wrong. That's just one of those things I said, God, I will never gripe about that. Of all the things I'm going to whine about, it ain't going to be the toothpaste. But it takes some time. You have to mature. And you know what? And both of us had to. And there was something my bride had to learn to do. Cook. Because I didn't know how. I mean, I knew how to cook some eggs and bacon and a few other things. Throw a can of soup on. But in the end, she was taking cooking lessons for the 6 months I was gone. And her mother did quite well. My grandmother taught her how to fry chicken. And then I learned how to cook. And now today, I do a lot of our cooking. And I kind of enjoy it. But you see, it took time. I had to mature. She matured. So that when we moved 700 miles away from home, and for, you know, she had an upbringing that many of us didn't. She lived in the house she was born in. 20 years. Same house. Same fields. Same people around her, same road, everything was the same. And then along comes this wild-eyed hillbilly from down the road. Hey, let's go on an adventure. Let's go to North Carolina, where it's hot, smells like sewage. They got rattlesnakes, copperheads, water moccasins, mosquitoes aplenty. And we don't know anybody. And that is where the marriage really took off. We didn't have anybody to fall back on. Oh yeah, she'd call and talk to her mommy from time to time. But remember, this was pre-MCI days when you couldn't get on a friends and family plan and talk for 3 cents a minute. long distance was about 50 cents a minute. And the first 6 months, I would call home from Japan and it was $2 a minute. And her mother would advise her, counsel her. But she never interfered. I had done everything I could for as far as preparing the place. We moved down there. I went and we got a really nice little duplex. We were so happy and proud of ourselves. Then I started getting my actual housing allowance with a VHA, BAQ variable. And it was supposed to actually cover the bills, and it was $25. It did not cover the bills. Rent was $400. I got $327. No electric, no water, no phone. Anyhow, we'll talk more about that later, but this prep time was for the bride and the groom. So when I pick up the next time I'm talking about this prep time, this is the bride. And in all of this, I want you to start seeing, there's some of this I'm going to revisit on scriptural references of what Jesus was doing, what Jesus said, and the significance it is to the modern day church. Because just like I said, and I have not sat down, I've read Catholic views of it, Jewish views of the 10 virgins, the charismatic view of it, that it's the church and only half of them are going. And it's like, well, that wasn't the tradition. The virgins were out there waiting, but they weren't the bride. They were part of the procession. So however you want to interpret, well, you're more power to you. I'm going to try to be accurate on it because I want to understand. And so as we're progressing in this, I'm going to share with you things in there that show up in the Bible about these traditions. Just like I never really saw the tradition of sitting down and having supper, like in Revelation 3:20, as part of the proposal. And afterwards, I was like, it's there, Lord. Plain as day. Some people knew it. Some people have seen it, taught it. Other people got hold of it and said, nah, that don't matter to us. Because I'm going to tell you, there's other things that got me a little more excited than that. And the reason being is, I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is coming back real soon. And then we need to be ready. Except, ladies and gentlemen, it's not necessarily the oil we're looking for our lamps. We're the bride. Brides, what were you doing before your wedding? You were primping, getting that dress ironed, getting all the stuff, making sure the details on your end were right. But you got to understand, see, back then, the bride didn't have all this weight. I got to make sure the catering's right. I got to do this. That was taken care of by somebody else. The bride and the groom had their jobs and their jobs alone. We've thrown that onto the brides, onto the families. Because there's this guy called friend of the groom. He did a lot of it. He's the one who made sure that everything came off the way it was supposed to. We'll talk about that more. Our job, even as Paul says, is to present ourselves without spot, without wrinkle. What do you think he was talking about? Make sure your shirts are ironed? No. Make sure your wedding attire is in alignment. make sure that everything he has given you. Do you know those dresses? They had precious stones in them. They weren't just cheap little plastic beads that somebody's really overcharging you for. They had rubies, emeralds. I look back and I think, you know, I see all the rings. People, the generation that shared grandma's ring is slowly going away. But they were pearls, rubies, emeralds, sapphires. And I've shared this before. You do know who made it diamonds, right? This old company called De Beers. A diamond mining company. They're the ones that came up with it. And now, to make it even cheaper, what they're doing is they're faking the process of the diamond. They're taking away the real value, but they're still selling it to you at a high price. It's fake. It didn't go through all that. It didn't have the same purification. The work was not in it. The pearl of great price, the treasure buried in the field, there was work in all of this. You know, let's say, well, you said 3 to 6 months pay. Of course, I'm thinking back as a private, and I made $600 a month. Okay, $1,800. But I serve a Jewish God. I only paid $5. He led me to the good deals. Well, it sounds like you're slamming. Oh, heavens no. You got to be shrewd. Be smart. The band represents something. The stone represents something. Something that was hard earned. People are getting married and divorced like drinking water today. I just don't love them anymore. Well, we were just talking about a couple after 30 years. The husband rolled over to his wife and said, you know, after 30 years, I thought you'd have got better looking. He said, all your sisters did. And this is a real person. I won't go any further on the connection. Men, I have a wife that if I was ever that dumb, I probably would not wake up. When I wake up in the land of glory, with the frying pan, I'll tell my story. Wagner will be across my head. That is stupid. That is the epitome of it. By the way, they're not married anymore, and he married one of her sisters. Honey, you evidently ain't too bright, because he left your sister for you. I look, Lord, I've been coming across pictures of us. I maybe even got one hanging in my office. We were 22. Yeah, we were just tiny little babies. Teeny tiny babies. Stupid little babies. Thinking we knew it all. We had the world cornered. She's still as beautiful to me as ever. And we don't look the same. Tim and I were talking this morning about things from our fathers. I'm like, well, I took after my mom's dad, and I said, unfortunately, he died, I think it was 57. So I said, I know his hairline had receded, but I don't know about this thin spot back here. I said, but the other side, they were bald real early. So I said, I can thank God for that. My brothers out there who got the other dish, I pray for you, but you're rocking it. That's all I can say. You rock it. Take it in stride. But the marriage is a covenant, and that's what the whole thing's about. Jesus said, behold, this is a new covenant. New covenant. The old covenant couldn't do anything. It wasn't just about the law. It was, this has never existed before. That's even part of my sermon when I bury people. What you see here did not exist before, but now there's two people. These two people are becoming one. It's never existed. In the spirit, you become one. Not only flesh, but one in the spirit now. And that's why I challenge people when I do the sermons. Do not. And it's not just them. The witnesses, some of you remember this challenge. The witnesses and all the guests, do nothing in your power to make this other than happy. Mother-in-laws, zip it. Father-in-laws, shut it. Let them figure it out. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I'm 35 years. I think I do by now. She hasn't killed me. Thought about it. She concerned me when she said that. She said, divorce isn't an option, but I did think about murder. Okay. Time for me to straighten up and fly right. To which I have said, no more gun lessons for you. So we're going to look more into that because Jesus is coming soon. We're the bride, folks. He's coming back to take us. Are we getting our dress ready? Are we? Are we purifying? Because there's a path. Then there's the purification. Putting on a little perfume. I can imagine Middle Ages. You got a bunch of that. We can just pour over. Because you got to remember, man, they didn't have Irish Spring. They had lye soap. And it don't smell none too good. But the things that the Bible talks about being anointed in, I've talked about frankincense and myrrh. Oh, wonderful. I'm like, they need to bottle this as a cologne, man. It smells manly. Anyhow, so we are going to break here. If you got to do something, you run, go ahead. We will be starting the memorial service at 1, and we'll be eating afterwards. The junior church today, if you're wondering, somebody's like, how on earth are they going to have class? They weren't. They're getting a hands-on training, how to serve. They were helping set up, helping do things. See, we forget, Sunday school isn't in the Bible. Teaching your kids by example is. Thank you. That's good. Yep. I mean, I got no kids doing that. That's all yours. So well done. And we will come together and we're going to celebrate the life of Miss Gloria. I debated. I know when I was talking with Elaine about the service, she's like, I don't want any sad songs. I said, good. I'm not wearing a sad shirt. I now wish I'd wore a brighter one. Because if you really knew Gloria, yes. Oh, yeah. Bright. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I thought about leopard skin print. Hey, I don't want to get too carried away here just yet. Because we're gonna celebrate the life of somebody who touched all of us. I mean, you probably known her the longest of anybody, well, except for family. But I didn't meet her until 1987, so she has always been a firecracker. A wild card. You just never knew what was going to come out of her mouth sometimes.
My grandson last night, I told him we were having a memorial service. And I said, for Gloria, he said, oh, that's a lady that danced at church.
Yep. 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 So we'll share some more things here later. And, but so in that event, everybody please stand. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the new covenant that was cut. Lord, we are grateful for that covenant. And Father, I pray that in these days coming, you help us all to surrender to you, working out the spots and the blemishes and the wrinkles. Father, for it is by your power, by your blood, that this happens. And now, Father, I bless your people today. Lord God, and even as we come back together in a little while to celebrate the life of one of our dear friends and family member, Lord, I bless them. I pray, Lord God, that as we go about our business this week, you remind us of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.